This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
Ivan Ellett,
Muriel Ellett,
and I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, now Ivan, you did was it called military service?
Compulsory military training.
And when was that?
That was in 1957. Yeah, when you were turned 18, you had to register every 18-year-old male. Very sexist, wasn't it?
But so all the males had to do it and
everybody
the females
had
didn't.
To register at 18.
You registered and then you all had to do the service, or was there a ballot?
No, what happened then, after when you registered, they you went for a medical. And if you passed that medical, and you could not pass that by having flat feet and all sorts of things, or they used to say there's all sorts of things out there, or poor eyesight, and there were quite a lot of people didn't do compulsory military training because of that, but I was one of those. I don't know whether it was lucky or unlucky to be fit enough to be chosen.
So what about university students? Was that an exemption?
My eldest brother was at university at the time, and he was able to get his delayed.
Ah, okay.
And he had to do, if I remember rightly, he ended up doing it over the Christmas New Year period sort of thing. What was New Year?
Short spells, rather.
Yeah, well, it was the one I did was for virtually 14 weeks.
And now, that's it? Okay.
I gather the military, and if you went into the military, that was shorter than that. I'm not quite sure about the military one, those that went in there, but I was chosen, although I had kind of made it a preference to go into the Air Force. I'd been in ATC at school, which was the Air Training Corps.
Yeah.
And whether that helped or not, I'm not quite sure. But but anyway, I went and was chosen to go into an intake that was in the Air Force.
So Air Force, you do 14 weeks. If it was Army, it would be shorter?
I think it was shorter than that. But then I think looking at it now was the fact that they used to, the military ones, I think, used to get called up to do some weekends.
Oh, okay. Now, so like the Territorial Army?
Yeah, whereas with the Air Force, I think they just did a training, and then it was to be followed up the following year with another 3 weeks or something like that.
Okay.
It never happened with us. We were the very final intake into the Air Force under compulsory military training.
Okay.
And it kind of, we didn't, when we went in, we really didn't know that we were going to be the final one, but the government of the day decided to stop it.
So was there a sort of assumption if you've done that and there is a conflict, you could be called up because you've done the training?
That was in your mind.
You said you'd been in the air training corps at school before. So what did that involve?
Well, I was at boys' high school here in Palmerston North, and every year, the beginning of the year, they had a military, what did they call it? And every boy was kind of involved in doing sort of military stuff of some kind, or playing in the band or something like that. And it went for a whole week. And you had military uniform kind of thing, which you wore, which was terrible stuff because it was all prickly.
All coarse,
coarse stuff. Yeah. And and you had to wear that. And, of course, it was possibly the hottest week in the year. So it was quite uncomfortable. But anyway, it was a week, one of the early weeks in the school year. You did that. for a whole week, and I chose the ATC for was the second year I was at boys high school. I chose the ATC and got into it. The first year I was a member of the band, but the second year I decided ATC. So
yeah. In England we had the CCF Combined Cadet Force, and that would be every Friday afternoon, every school Friday afternoon, and then you'd have a week's camp. You can be Army, yeah. Navy, or Air Force.
Well, we did do odd days after that during the year too, if I remember rightly. But I can't remember how those days were spaced out. Whether it was, certainly wasn't. I don't think it was every week. We didn't. No. So I presume that was one of the reasons why I might have got into the Air Force. You could, earlier on with compulsory military training, you could actually choose either the Army, the Navy, or the Air Force. But the Navy had dropped out by the time I came round to enrol. They weren't doing it. So I ended up in the Air Force. You were given, when you registered, you were kind of given a choice. You could have three choices, kind of thing, of what trade you wanted to do while you were in the
training. So even though it was only sort of, what, 14 weeks, but they gave you, so it wasn't just 14 weeks of learning how to march and shoot a rifle and polish your boots properly.
No, you were actually put into a trade of some, well, they called it a trade according to the thing I've got here, a trade. And you were given a choice, you know, of what you might like to go in. And I know I chose photography first, and then medical was second. And I had a third one, and I have no idea what on earth that third one was now. I haven't a clue.
So it wasn't flying? You didn't go in for
Oh, no, you couldn't go flying.
You couldn't?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no. I think possibly you were a university student. My grades, they might have been interested. I don't know.
Yeah. I was in the Air Force section. We did it from 14 right through to leaving school. So there's several years. But on the week's camp, we'd all go up in. Then it was a chipmunk and do some aerobatics and things, which was
good fun.
That was very good.
So my brother, as I said, was at university, but he, I think, he ended up in the library. I've got a feeling he quite enjoyed that.
Yeah, I could imagine that. Now, one thing that I know from England, that the Air Force cadets, you get better food on camp than the Army.
The food was great.
No,
the Air Force food, that one would not complain about that.
The
only time in my life that I really put on weight. And that wasn't much.
And that was doing assault courses as well?
Well, we didn't do assault courses. The fact of being the last intake did affect what happened to us in our training. Okay. And I don't think... You know, my what happened in our training was possibly indicative of what had gone on before with other people. So there must have been other components that we missed out on because of you know, the fact that people were losing their jobs. I think, you know, those that were going to march us around
parade grounds
we're not going to have anybody in the parade, were they?
So
I presume there must have been people who were thinking about what was going to happen next to them.
So they all knew this was the last. Did you know once you were there that
once
you were
we
the
last were there, intake? Once we were there, we knew this was the final intake.
So did people resent having to do it then?
I can't remember. I think we were such, you know, you were told you had to do it, and you had to
do it.
I can't remember us arguing about it and whether we were resentful or not.
So you were learning at a medical trade, so most of it was coursework?
What happened if we went from, I went from Palmerston North, we went by overnight train.
Yeah.
to Auckland, which was the express, not the limited. The limited went straight through, kind of thing. The express stopped quite frequently. It took a lot longer.
Yeah.
So we, although it left Palmerston North earlier in the evening, it arrived in Auckland after the limited. So, you know, it took a long time. It was most uncomfortable. We were all shoved in a carriage, all perfect strangers, most of us, and we were shoved in this carriage. And
by the time you got there, you knew each other?
No, it didn't, because it was overnight and you tried to go to sleep. And But anyway, we went up by train overnight and then landed, went to Hobsonville Air Base, which was the Sunderland flying boat base. That's what it was mainly used for at the time we were up there. And I think they had I don't know how many Sunderlands they had down. The Hobsonville base was really up on a headland kind of thing. And these flying boats were down on the inlet, went up to Riverhead. Terribly noisy things, very noisy.
And you never went up in them?
No, we were never given a chance to.
You think they give you at least a joyride?
No, there were too many, because a lot of people went up there to do the basic training.
Oh, yeah.
And then I presume some stayed there. Where the rest went, I'm not really quite sure. But after we did, we were abused and sworn at.
So you had basic training of what, a week or?
Yeah.
And that was the marching stuff.
And that was the marching stuff when you were abused and sworn at and all sorts of things because you were.
Did you have all your hair shaved off or something first?
No. I think we had to have short hair and that kind of thing, but that was normal anyway for that day. But, the parade ground stuff was awful. I didn't, you didn't ever seem to do it right. But anyway.
Yeah. That's the idea, wasn't it? To condition you to respond to orders quickly.
We survived it, and I don't know how they'd get on these days. I mean,
they'd all some be of the up sergeants for abuse.
They'd be locked up for some of the yelling and screaming. But never mind, we survived it all right, and I don't think it did us any harm. After about 4 weeks, it was 3 or 4 weeks, I'm not quite sure at this stage because it's a long time ago, but we were actually put on a train, sent back down to Martin. Some of us were. There was quite a group. Some came down to the medical section at Ohakia, some came down to a transport thing, I think, at Ohakia. And I'm not quite sure whether there might have been others came for other things, but there weren't a lot of us who came actually down from down to Ohakia for the remaining 10 weeks or so.
So were you then on base all the time, or you got back into Palmy?
We were on base. We lived on base. We were put in a barracks which hadn't been used. I remember hadn't been used for quite some time. Looking at the state of it, and one of the first things we had to do was actually make it livable.
Was this summer, winter?
It was what would that have been, about July? Yes, in the middle of winter, really. And I remember it really wasn't all that great. And it was an old barracks. I think they might still have some out there. The last time I was out there, I think that some of them still might exist, but they were from the Second World War.
Do you recall what they were flying from Ohakia then?
At that stage, they were flying vampires, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
They
were flying vampires, and yes, they were, because that's what they were flying there, but they were flying other things as well. Oh, there was some Devons out there, which we did get a ride in one night. We went round and round.
Was that legitimate, or
Oh, yes. No, no, we... Somebody managed to arrange for us to get up into Devon, they were doing something to do with compasses and things
and
like that.
And Devon's what, sort of transport plane?
It was a small passenger... Well, I think it was mainly used as a passenger plane, really.
Yeah.
It would have, I'm trying to think, possibly took 15 or 16, haven't thought about that for a long time.
Yeah. But, I was thinking, was that the time when a lot of the sort of ex-military type planes were modified for passenger transport before they had the custom-built
I really don't know.
Okay.
What the history of the Devon was, I suppose one could look it up and see.
Yeah.
But that we went round and round in the dark, I know that, and didn't see a thing. And ultimately...
And got airsick and then landed.
Ultimately, it wasn't very exciting. But never mind, we managed to get a flight.
Now air travel's actually quite common. Would it have been... Forgetting around New Zealand,
very common.
It was
at
all train
all.
Then, was it?
Yeah. I flew my first flight was in a DC-3.
Yeah.
From Palmerston North to Auckland in a DC-3, and that would have been after that. That would have been possibly a year or two after.
And that was a straight civilian passenger flight. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my first flight. Yeah. Ever. Mm. So. So that was we came down to Ahakia, as I say, and some of us ended up in the medical area. And that really was good, you know, good training kind of thing. I really really liked that enjoyed it.
Training in what?
Was in the medical area. Was, you know, they trained you in first, I'm trying to think, first aid. I remember us having to try and do the a diabetes test. I remember that happening, and that was much more complicated in those days. And you had to use copper sulfate, if I remember rightly, was it? Yeah, copper sulfate and make up solutions and all sorts of things, which was quite interesting to do. And and then test each other. And there were all sorts of things. We did a lot of classroom stuff, you know, whereby one learned quite a lot of stuff, medical stuff, on through that, you know.
So it was more the medicine and illness sort of thing rather than wounds and...
I don't think we got to that stage. You see, I think this is part of the problem. There was a flu epidemic. In 1957, which hit the base out there. I've never been quite sure about it, but I gather on Google that there was one worldwide. There was an epidemic in 1957, and whether that somehow affected, but there were quite a lot of people out at the air base got that flu. I can remember ending up nursing people. Kind of thing, getting up in the night and giving people tablets and kind of things because they had this flu. Quite a few of the people from the intake that came down from Hobsonville to Ahakia kind of ended up at going home and having the, you know, because they had the flu and not coming back again. Some of them not coming back again.
So what sort of treatment was there then?
Well, it was, from my memory, I'm sure I was giving some people sulfonamides of some kind. The doctor prescribed them, and I know there was, at one stage, I had to get up in the middle of the night, which was terribly difficult after you'd gone to sleep, to wake up and give somebody some tablets and then go back to sleep again. But I can remember doing that.
So it was basically just they stay in bed, you keep them warm, give them... Fluids and tablets.
That's right. That was what you were doing, yeah.
Yeah. And they all recovered okay? Or?
Yeah, they actually separated off as separate barracks. They did have them in a certain place, and they had to... I think they had to bring back one of the barracks that they hadn't been using, and they ended up turning it into sort of a bit of a ward.
Yeah. Was there much mention of the 1918 epidemic and lessons from that?
I can't remember that. No, I can't remember that happening. But I know this went on for two or three weeks or so.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
think possibly missed out, because of that, missed out on some of the stuff we should have learnt.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that didn't happen at Ahakia was we didn't have to do much basic do any square bashing or marching or anything like that.
Yeah.
I can remember them there being an official parade at one stage, which the station commander or something put on, and I don't know what the reason for it was, but we all had to kind of be on parade that day, but somehow or other I got co-opted, and because I could play a brass instrument, I got co-opted into the band.
Yeah.
I can remember not knowing the music and not really being much help.
So, did they say just move your fingers but don't blow?
I can't remember playing much because I think it was the first time I'd ever seen the music. Yeah, so that was because I played. Before I was in the Air Force, I was playing regularly in a band, but I can't remember being much help to them that day because I just didn't. never much of a player anyway, but never mind.
Oh.
So that was.
Did you do anything on the range, shooting?
Yes, I remember once we were taken to the. Now I'm trying to think whether that was at Hobson Hall or whether it was at. At Ohaki, I think it was Hobson Hall. They took us to the range, and I think I missed was about 9 out of 10.
Yeah,
I think I missed the target at all.
303.
Yeah, all from the Second World War.
Yes. Yeah, we had those. The idea was you put your cap in your shoulder so as not to get a bruise. And you got the metal cap badge, and that was just where the rifle was, and it was bent into a V-shape.
I really don't know how good my shooting was, but I certainly didn't hit the target very well.
Yeah.
And I think there was only that one occasion that we were taken there. I can't remember any other time. So.
Well, it's probably the rifles. You might have to know how to set them up to actually hit the target.
I just wondered how accurate the rifle
would be. Yeah.
We knew how to clean them.
Yeah, yeah.
We were certainly taught how to clean them, but I'm not sure whether it made them any better or not. But I can remember not being a great shot.
On one attempt, I suppose you're not going to learn.
Yes, I was very much a learner, so it's not surprising, is it?
So with the things that you learned, was that much use for you afterwards?
I found it quite very useful, and generally it was not only just with the pharmacy. One of the interesting side effects with that was the fact that the pharmacy in Palmerston North that I...
You became a pharmacist.
Yeah, during my apprenticeship at, did the prescriptions for Ohakia.
When
they had a medical parade at Ohakia...
Medical parade?
I use every day if people want... There was a doctor on base. Ah. So if you had coughs, cold, something, you could sort of go to the medical centre for a medical... There was a medical parade every morning.
Oh, so they call it a parade, but basically you just go to see the doctor.
And you would see the doctor in your turn kind of thing. And the prescriptions from that used to come in on a truck to Palmerston North and come to the pharmacy that I had been working at. Just one of those coincidences. We would do the prescriptions at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. By 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they'd go back out to Ohakia. So it was useful in a sense for me. There was parts of it were certainly very, very useful from a pharmaceutical point of view, and how things were done in the medical section and that kind of thing. I think with just some of the general stuff that one learnt that I don't think I would have necessarily learnt.
It's sort of seeing it the other side. The pharmacist is giving things out for the medical people, and you saw it from the medical perspective as well.
I think it was useful from that point of view. I could see from the customer side, if you like, and that kind of thing. And so it was useful, and I just found it. Just the things I learnt just seemed to come back. when circumstances arose, you kind of thought, oh, that goes back to those days, you know, what I learned then at that particular moment in time.
Yeah. Yeah. What about the military way of doing things? Did you pick up anything from that?
Possibly not, because again, I think it was this fact that we were not very regimented at Ahakia in this intake, because things were kind of, in a way, you felt they were running down, if you like.
Yeah,
except the, you know, the teaching was all right. I'm not complaining about that.
Yeah.
But there was a sense in which we virtually did no more basic training or any.
Thing,
other than that one big parade, I can't remember us really doing much. I know they used we would go out for a run with a corporal or somebody for a sort of thing, but we really didn't do much in the way of exercise or anything particular.
But what about things like maybe how things are organised, the paperwork or regimentation of processes and so on?
Well, I suppose that was another thing that most probably we learnt a bit of, but we didn't actually possibly get all of it, because again, I think this flu epidemic thing interrupted some of that as well. I've always had the feeling that maybe we didn't really get the full benefit of the training.
The benefit. So what would you see as what the benefit should have been?
I wouldn't really know that, except that I just have a feeling that, you know, we just didn't finish all the course, if you although Muriel pointed out, I have got to pass a mark on my discharge document, which tells me I've got a certain percentage in my test. I can't remember the test.
Probably like with COVID, they made special adjustments because of the sickness period.
I can't remember the test, but never mind, there was a test, obviously, and I got a fairly high mark, wasn't it?
81%.
This is part one of two. Listen next week for part two.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.